Then down the brave man lay, with his bolster under his head, and his whole company of sea rovers at rest beside him. None of them expected he would ever see his homeland again, or get back to his native place and the people who reared him. They knew too well the way it was before, how often the Danes had fallen prey to death in the mead hall. But the Lord was weaving a victory on his war loom for the Weather Geats. Through the strength of one, they all prevailed. They would crush their enemy and come through in triumph and gladness. The truth is clear. Almighty God rules over mankind and always has. Then out of the night came the Shadow Stalker, stealthy and swift. The hall guards were slack, asleep at their posts, all except one. It was widely understood that as long as the Lord forbade it, the fiend could never bear them beyond his shadow bourne. One man, however, was in fighting mood, awake and on edge, spoiling for action. In off the moors, down through the mist bands, God-cursed Grendel came greedily loping. The bane of the race of men roamed forth, hunting for a prey in the high hall. Under the cloud murk he moved towards it until it shone above him, a sheer keep of fortified gold. Nor was that the first time he had scouted the grounds of Hrothgar's dwelling, although never in his life, before or since, did he find harder fortune or hall defenders. Spurned and joyless, he journeyed on ahead and arrived at the bawn. The iron-braced door turned on its hinge when his hands touched it. Then his rage boiled over. He ripped open the mouth of the building, maddening for blood, pacing the length of the patterned floor with his loathsome tread, while a baleful light, flame more than light, flared from his eyes. He saw many men in the mansion, sleeping, a ranked company of kinsmen and warriors quartered together. And his glee was demonic, picturing the mayhem. Before morning, he would rip life from limb and devour them, feed on their flesh. But his fate that night was due to change. His days of ravening had come to an end. Mighty and canny, Higelac's kinsman was keenly watching for the first move the monster would make. Nor did the creature keep him waiting, but struck suddenly and started in. He grabbed and mauled a man on his bench, bit into his bone lappings, bolted down his blood, and gorged on him in lumps, leaving the body utterly lifeless, eaten up hand and foot. Venturing closer, his talon was raised to attack Beowulf where he lay on the bed. He was bearing in with open claw when the alert hero's comeback and armlock forestalled him utterly. The captain of evil discovered himself in a hand grip harder than anything he had ever encountered in any man on the face of the earth. Every bone in his body quailed and recoiled, but he could not escape. He was desperate to flee to his den and hide with the devil's litter, for in all his days he had never been clamped or cornered like this. Then Higelac's trusty retainer recalled his bedtime speech, sprang to his feet and got a firm hold. Fingers were bursting, the monster backtracking, the man overpowering. The dread of the land was desperate to escape, to take a roundabout road and flee to his lair in the fens. The latching power in his fingers weakened. It was the worst trip the terrormonger had taken to Heorot. And now the timbers trembled and sang, a hall session that harrowed every Dane inside the stockade. Stumbling in fury, the two contenders crashed through the building. The hall clattered and hammered, but somehow survived the onslaught and kept standing. It was handsomely structured, a sturdy frame, braced with the best of blacksmith's work inside and out. The story goes that as the pair struggled, Mead benches were smashed and sprung off the floor, gold fittings and all. Before then, no shielding elder would believe there was any power or person upon earth capable of wrecking their horn-rigged hall, unless the burning embrace of a fire engulfed it in flame. Then an extraordinary wail arose, and bewildering fear came over the Danes. Everyone felt it who heard that cry as it echoed off the wall, a God-cursed scream and strain of catastrophe, the howl of the loser, the lament of the hell serf keening his wound. He was overwhelmed, manacled tight, by the man who of all men was foremost and strongest in the days of this life.